I'm Jared Waitley. Here's a snapshot of Wednesday, May 18. Luke Hodge took on the portfolio as our Minister for Mental Intimidation.
Oh, no, I always enjoyed a chat every now and
then. Yes.
it wasn't the first priority when you went out there. What you do, and there's certain people in opposition teams where you thought if I got my opportunity, I'd mention it. Just the same as there were certain blokes that I played against who love, especially when I was younger, having a go because they know I'd react. And there's certain people that you say things to where you can get under their skin. And as I said, if you look at someone and they, Chris Judd, if I sat back out there on the ground, I wouldn't bother wasting my time talking to him because I know that it's water off a duck's back. If he missed a shot at goal, he's not going to care. He'll do the same thing next time. There's certain people out there where you know you can either physically intimidate them, verbally intimidate them, or just make them second guess that next play. And they're the ones you go after. And it's not in a bad way. It's more the fact that just to let them know that if that means if they second guess themselves, it might put doubt amongst their teammates.
And Omar used his first call to the program especially well.
Full disclosure, I've never played football. I played an Aussie kick, got kicked in the shin, and then decided to take up golf. But I enjoy watching the game. I think I know a little bit about leadership, and I particularly enjoy the questions around leadership and performance on field, off field. And with that in mind, the Dylan Shiel conversation has been a really interesting one because I think it's got multiple layers of leadership, sort of namely self-leadership of Dylan himself and then leadership of the team. And I also think it's got layers of time and leadership across time at play as well, around in the moment, at the half time, and then, you know, through the week. Listening to Hodgie, listening to Matthew Lloyd, listening to the grub from Lee Matthews, I think the really important point around how Dylan Shiels reacted in the moment was how he felt. If he wasn't intimidated, as Matthew Lloyd suggested he was, if he wasn't embarrassed the way Lee Matthews suggested he was, and he wasn't intimidated or embarrassed or going to second-guess himself, as Hodgie suggested some players may or may not be, and he was able to just think that Luke Park was just a bit of a turkey, then it's entirely in his right to do nothing from his self-leadership perspective. But then if you look at it from a team leadership perspective and, okay, what is my role here in the team and how I need to support the rest of my players, do I need to do something for them to show that we are not intimidated and that we are better than this? And that's a different question that I just don't know. But I think that then extrapolates out to Dyson Heppel and his read on the team. And do I need to do something not for the benefit of Dylan Shiels, but for the benefit of the rest of the team? And then the same question again for Ben Rutten at halftime and the assistant coaches saying, is this something that we can use to help our team react or not? And if they've made a judgment call that, no, we know our players, we know what makes sense for them, we know how we're going to get them to respond, we don't need to address it, again, that's their call. Whether it was a right one or wrong one is another question. And then the last bit, and thanks for bearing with me, you've then got the interesting bit around the fans and the fact that the fans are such an important part of the football club, the team, the business side of things. And we can't be naive to the fact that Dyson Heppel, Ben Rutten and others have a duty, have a responsibility to lead the club. And part of that is the stakeholder group of the fans. And then they need to have an appropriate response to lead the organisation by communicating with the fans in a way that the fans need to feel comfortable with.
Gian Rooney, as Shayna Jack returns to the National Swimming Championships after a two-year drug ban.
I've been asked before about how will she be received on pool deck, and there is no issue here in Australia. Australia is very, has been behind Shayna the whole time, and very much, she's been to hell and back. There's no other way to put it. Her real challenge will come on an international pool deck. There is that next level of not knowing her as an individual and as a person. But if anyone can deal with that, it's Shayna. She's one of the most mentally tough athletes I have come across because of what she's been through. I can honestly say, Jared, that if I had been through what she had been through, I don't know if I'd be lining up to ever swim again. It would have broken me. Yet here she is, not only back in her first big meet since the drug scandal, but also in form. She's worked her butt off up there at St Peter's Western with Coach Dean. She's been putting down some great times. She looks fantastic. She looks fit. And she's almost got, she's saying it's not about redemption, but it is. She wants to prove that she was such a great component of that 4x1 freestyle relay team beforehand. She not only wants to be back on that relay team again as an integral member, but I think she's also, and I know she's also, chasing an individual spot because she believes she can do that.
Wayne Hawkes on whether Australia's best horses should campaign overseas.
What we spoke about last time when we spoke about this was go when we're great. Go when you're nature stripping, you're low flying, you're 7-odd years of age. I wouldn't go with Nature Strip because I'd look at the Everest and go, mate, there's 15 million reasons why you need to come back in the spring, but they want to do it because it's an ego thing. There's no other reason why you'd want to go and do it. He's a gelding. He has no stud value. He's what was Tommy Smith's great line? A gelding's only worth what he can earn. So Mackaybee didn't go away. It didn't stop her.
No, she did. She went to Tokyo twice.
Yeah, okay, once, sorry.
And jeopardised...
the rest
potentially
of
the Melbourne Cup, but came back and won, which I think is a great part of it. So I suspect you and I differ a little. That your point is financially, fiscally sound. You should run for office.
Chautauqua went to Hong Kong, won, and he was never the same horse after that. Make no mistake.
Right. So it does come at a toll.
It can. Would I go? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I would keep her at home. In Australia.
Nature Strip, yes, maybe. No, I actually wouldn't. Because the money's too good.
And Ben Horn, as Matthew Mott is poached to be England's white ball coach.
Apparently, Brendan McCullum recommended Matthew for a job as New Zealand coach a few years ago and started, but they do have a good, a close bond. As Andrew McDonald discussed when he took over the Australian role and taking on all three formats, you know, there was concerns in Australian cricket about the dynamic between a white ball and red ball coach and what happens when you have to choose which players represent in each format. There's a bit of friction there. So the strong relationship between McCullum and Mott will help. But it's an excellent appointment and it's a great reward for, you know, someone who has an outstanding record as a coach.
And that's just a snapshot. The full program and all interviews are available through the Waitley podcast. Subscribe at sen.com.au.